You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. You are the salt of the earth. What can Jesus possibly mean by that? Salt was really important in the ancient world. It was often used to pay people, particularly soldiers. It's where we get the word salary. Aside from the fact that it seasoned food and made it more flavorful, it also preserved the meat. They didn't have refrigerators in those days, and food could spoil quickly. Salting it was a way to keep it edible for much longer. So salt was a preservative. So when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," he is saying that you preserve the world and you give it a little flavor. But then he says something odd about salt losing its saltiness. How can salt lose its taste? There are many possible answers. Some say that some of the salt in the Mediterranean Sea or around that area was impure. It was mixed with other minerals. If exposed to air or water for too long, it lost its saltiness. That is true of some of the salt found near the Dead Sea, so Jesus would have been familiar with it. Others say that it can't lose its flavor, and that's the point. Salt without saltiness is useless, just as humans without good deeds are useless. There are several explanations, but regardless, Jesus is definitely saying that salt that does not do what it is supposed to do is not good for anything. And we would say the same. We return broken gadgets or clothes that don't fit us to the stores where we bought them. It's just basic sense. And Jesus reiterates that point, saying, "You are the light of the world. No one hides a lamp under a basket but on a lampstand, so it gives light to the whole house." This is common sense. Again, a lamp is useless if its light doesn't shine. But everyone appreciates light in the darkness. And so Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Here we have Jesus describing his vision of the Christian life. The way in which we act gives glory to God, gives glory to the one who made us. Those who see it are drawn to God as a result. And look again, because this too is good common sense. We check Yelp when we want to go to a good restaurant. We ask our friends about where to find a good mechanic. We naturally talk about the places, people, and products that we think are good at what they do. It's why you don't see many people driving around in Yugos these days. It's also why you see people protesting and boycotting companies that they think have unethical practices. And that is why it is important to let our light shine, so that people don't avoid, deride, or even boycott our church. It is also why evangelism, yes, that word, evangelism is so important. If our encounters with Jesus in our church have touched our lives, we have to tell others. And finally, it's why we can't be content to just show up on Sundays and act however we want the other 6 days of the week. People look at how we act within our community, and that tells them all they need to know, or so they think, about our church. We can't just put on our best faces on Sundays for the people who sit in the pews next to us. They're already coming to church. They're already seeking God. We need to come to church to encounter Christ in the words of Scripture, and then take him into ourselves when we receive his body and blood, and then we carry Christ out into the world. Now, if we want to know what losing our saltiness or hiding our light looks like, let's look at our reading from Isaiah today. Much like Micah last week, who reminded us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, Isaiah is hammering that point home. They were different prophets in different eras encountering the same problem. People were mistaking religious ritual for actual worship of God. God tells Isaiah, "Announce to my people their rebellion. Day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness." Did you catch that "as if"? God is saying that in order to know God's ways, one must practice righteousness. And God's critique of Israel takes on a mocking tone. Why do we fast and you not see? Why do we humble ourselves but you do not notice? That's like saying, "I show up on church on Sundays, what more do you want of me, God?" And God says, "You serve your own interests on your fast day. You fast only to quarrel and fight." In other words, you say you're coming to worship me, but your actions, they tell another story. And God continues, "Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high." He means it is no credit to us to show up on church on Sunday if we ignore God all week. And God does the Israelites and ourselves a favor in telling us what he expects. Loose the bonds of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover them. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Do we see a similarity in what Jesus is saying? Don't hide your light. Let it shine. Because then people will see your good deeds and give glory to God. That is how God wants to be worshipped. God wants people to see all the good that we can do. God wants the whole world to know God's love for them through our actions. We, here at St. Anne's, we as Christians, we are God's representatives. We are sometimes the only encounters that some people will have with God. It's like that famous quote attributed to St. Teresa de Avila. "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses the world. Christ has no body now but yours." We here at St. Anne's, we are the people through whom other people know God. You see how seriously God takes this sort of thing in speaking through Isaiah. And we hear Jesus echo that sentiment today. Our light has to shine so that people will be drawn to God. Because if our light does not shine, it gives God a bad name. One need only look at media accounts of the Westboro Baptist Church or stories about how some Christians are trying to turn America into a theocracy to see what happens when God gets a bad name. Church numbers throughout the entire United States are declining. And if we think that none of that has to do with the actions of Christians, we are ignoring our own sacred history. We are ignoring Isaiah, Micah, and Jesus. Further, if you want one other point of consideration, we violate one of the Ten Commandments when we do not let God's light shine through us. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." People often apply this in taking oaths in God's name or saying things like "Jesus Christ" in frustration or anger. But I can think of no more serious way of violating this commandment than calling ourselves Christians and acting as if we are not. We take the name of God upon us and then give God a bad reputation through our words and actions. And as a final point on that, Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The thing that Jesus critiqued the most about the scribes and the Pharisees of his day was that they followed hollow external observances but they did not care for the poor and the helpless. He felt they were more concerned about saying they had followed the letter of the law than caring for the least, the lost, and the last. They fell into the same trap, according to Jesus, that the Israelites had fallen into in the times of Micah and of Isaiah. They cared more about just worshiping to appease God, as if you can just appease God, than letting God's light shine through them in their good deeds. My brothers and sisters, let us not fall into that same trap. We see the signs around us as fewer and fewer people in the United States go to church every Sunday. We see it in our community, we see it in this state, we see it in the whole country. So let us do as Jesus asks us and let our light shine. And if we are confused about where to begin, or if it seems like a big task, here are a few small things we can do. When St. Anne shares something that you like on Facebook, something good that we are doing, share it on your own page. This church's light, which is very bright, cannot shine if we are hiding it under a basket. If St. Anne's is having an event that you think your friends, family, or coworkers might enjoy, invite them. We just had a ridiculously fun paint night on Wednesday. I painted Yoda. And I saw several new faces. Maybe they will come back. Also, Ash Wednesday is coming up in a few weeks. People want to go to church on Ash Wednesday. They want someone to invite them. They also want to go to a church on Easter or Christmas. Invite people here, especially on big holidays, but not only on big holidays. Let them come and experience God so that God's light can shine through them. Not inviting them is literally hiding your own light and their light under a basket. It is the definition of salt losing its saltiness. And finally, if you think there are ways that you can let your light shine in church or in this community, come, talk to Mother Diane, talk to me. We want to support you in your ministry because we really want your light to shine. My fellow Christians who have taken the name of God upon ourselves and are called to be God's body in this world, I pray that today that we would remember that we are the light of the world. Let us shine in the darkness so that others might see and give glory to the God who loves us and who honors us by letting his light shine through us every week when we receive his body and blood at the table. In Jesus' name, amen. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You are the salt of the earth. What can Jesus possibly mean by that? Salt was really important in the ancient world. It was often used to pay people, particularly soldiers. It's where we get the word salary. Aside from the fact that it seasoned food and made it more flavorful, it also preserved meat. They didn't have refrigerators in those days, and food could spoil quickly. Salting it was a way to keep it edible for longer. Salt was a preservative. So when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," he is saying that you preserve the world and you give it a little flavor. It's a good compliment, right? But then he says something odd about salt losing its saltiness. How can salt lose its taste? There are many possible answers. Some say the salt in the Mediterranean world, some of it was impure, mixed with other minerals. If exposed to air or water for too long, it would lose its saltiness. And this is true some of the salt found near the Dead Sea, so Jesus would have been familiar with it. Others say it can't lose its flavor And that's the point. Salt without saltiness is useless, just as humans without good deeds are useless. There are several explanations, but regardless, Jesus is definitely saying that salt that does not do what it is supposed to do is not good for anything. And we would say the same. We return broken gadgets or clothes that do not fit to the stores where we bought them. It's just basic sense. And Jesus reiterates this point, saying, "You are the light of the world. No one hides a lamp under a basket, but on a lampstand, so it gives light to the whole house." This is common sense. A lamp is useful if a lamp is useless if its light doesn't shine. But everyone appreciates light in the dark. And so Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Here we have Jesus describing his vision of the Christian life. The way in which we act gives glory to the one who made us. Those who see it are drawn to God as a result. And look again, this too is very good common sense. We check Yelp when we want to go to a good restaurant. We ask our friends about where to find a good mechanic. We naturally talk about places, people, and products that we think do what they're supposed to do. It's why you don't see many people driving around in Yugos these days. It's also why you see people protesting and boycotting companies that they find unethical. And that is why it's important to let our light shine, so that people don't avoid, deride, or even boycott our church. It is also why evangelism is so important. If our encounters with Jesus in this church have touched our lives, we have to tell others. And finally, it's why we can't be content to just show up on Sundays and act however we want the other 6 days of the week. People look at how we act within our community, and that tells them all they need to know about our church, or so they think. And we can't just put on our best faces on Sunday for the people who sit in the pews with us. They're already coming to church. They're already seeking God. Our coming to church is not about showing off our good behavior here. We need to come to church to encounter Christ in the words of Scripture and take him into ourselves when we receive his body and blood. And then we carry Christ out into the world. Now, if we want to know what losing our saltiness or hiding the light looks like, let's look at our reading from Isaiah today. Much like Micah last week, who reminded us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, Isaiah is hammering that point home. They were different prophets in different eras encountering the same problem. People were mistaking religious ritual for actual worship of God. God tells Isaiah, "Announce to my people their rebellion. Day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness." Did you catch that "as if"? God is saying that in order to know God's ways, one must practice righteousness. And God's critique of Israel takes on a mocking tone. Why do we fast and you not see? Why do we humble ourselves but you do not notice? That's like saying, "I show up to church on Sundays. What more can God want of me?" And God says, "You serve your own interest on your fast day. You fast only to quarrel and to fight." In other words, you say you are coming to worship me, but your actions tell a different story. And God continues, "Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high." He means it is no credit for us to show up to church on Sunday if we ignore God and God's people all week. And God does the Israelites and ourselves the favor of telling us what he expects. Loose the bonds of injustice. Let the oppressed go free. Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover them. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Do we see a similarity in what Jesus is saying? Don't hide your light, let it shine. Because then people will see your good deeds and give glory to God. That is how God wants to be worshiped. God wants people to see all the good that we can do. God wants the whole world to know God's love for them through our actions. We are God's representatives. We are sometimes the only people, we are sometimes the only encounters that people will have with God, us. It's like that famous quote attributed to St. Teresa de Avila. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion upon the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Christ has no body now but yours. We here at St. Anne's, we are the people through whom people know God. We see how seriously God takes this sort of thing when he's speaking through Isaiah. And we hear Jesus echo that sentiment in our reading from Matthew today. Our light has to shine so that people will be drawn to God. Because if our light does not shine, it gives God a bad name. One only need look at media accounts of the Westboro Baptist Church or the story of how some Christians are trying to turn America into a theocracy to see what happens when God gets a bad name. Church numbers throughout the United States are declining. And if we think that none of that has to do with the actions of Christians, we are ignoring our own sacred history. We are ignoring Isaiah, Micah, and Jesus. Further, if you want another point of consideration, we violate one of the Ten Commandments when we do not let God's light shine through us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. People often apply this to taking oaths in God's name or saying things like Jesus Christ in frustration or anger. But I can think of no more serious way of violating this commandment than calling ourselves Christian and acting as if we are not. We take the name of God upon us and then give God a bad reputation through our actions. And as a final point, Jesus says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes or the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The thing that Jesus most critiqued about the scribes and the Pharisees was that they followed hollow external observances, but did not care for the poor or the helpless. He felt they were more concerned about saying that they had followed the letter of the law than caring for the least, the lost, and the last. They fell into the same trap, according to Jesus, that the Israelites had fallen into in the times of Micah and Isaiah. They cared more about just worshiping to appease God, as if you can appease God, than letting God's light shine through them in their good deeds. My brothers and sisters, let us not fall into that same trap. We see the signs around us as fewer and fewer people in the United States go to church every Sunday. So let us do as Jesus asks us and let our light shine. And if we are confused about where to begin, or it seems like a big task, here are a few small things we can do. When St. Anne's shares something good that you like on Facebook, something that we are doing that you can be proud of, share it on your page. This church's light, which is a very bright light, cannot shine if we hide it under a basket. If St. Anne's is having an event that you think your friends, family, or coworkers might enjoy, invite them. We just had a ridiculously fun paint night on Wednesday. I was supposed to be painting dragonflies, but instead I painted Yoda. And I saw several new faces. Maybe they'll come back. Also, Ash Wednesday is coming up. People want to go to church on Ash Wednesday, or on Easter, or on Christmas. invite people, especially but not exclusively, on big holidays. Because those are the days they really do want to go to church. They want an invitation. And finally, let them come and experience God here so that God's light can shine through them. Not inviting them is literally hiding your light and their light under a basket. It is the definition of salt losing its saltiness. And finally, if there are ways that you can think of that you can let your light shine in this church and in this community, come. Talk to Mother Diane, talk to me. We want to support you in your ministry because we really want your light to shine. My fellow Christians who have taken the name of God upon ourselves and are called to be God's body in the world, I pray that today we would remember that we are the light of the world. Let us shine in the darkness so that others might see and give glory to the God who loves us and who honors us by letting his light shine through us every week when we receive his body and blood at the table. In Jesus' name, amen.